All right, what's up, everybody? It is Friday. It is the 1st of September. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below on whatever platform you're watching from that you are new, and let us know where you guys are joining us from. Real quick, before we get started, please hit that like button, that share button, that subscribe button, that bell notification. This is going to push our material out there on the algorithm, out there on YouTube and Rumble and all these platforms, and even on Facebook Live, so we can get our content out there. And of course, we would love for you guys to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices, absolutely free. Get it today at your Play Store, depending on whatever device you have. Type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo right there on your screen. Be sure to hit yes to push notifications. I know on I have an iPhone, so for me, I'm pretty sure it prompts you right off the bat to hit yes or no. So I don't know if that's the same with Android devices, but if you hit that yes, the push notifications, you're going to be good to go with everything that we put out, all of our content, our headlines, our podcast, everything is going to be good to go. So tonight, we're going to change it up a little bit. I know some of you guys have been waiting for an equipping message. Well, here's one tonight on this 1st of September. We're going to kick it off with a powerful equipping message. I want to go to the book of Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to minister the next few moments out of the book of Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to pull something out of here. The chances are this may be the first time you've ever heard this message pulled out of Joshua chapter 9. This is just how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I want to give to you what the Lord gave me. So let's read this together. Joshua chapter 9. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Whatever translation you want to follow along with me, you can. But here we go. For you guys on Apple and Spotify, again, this is Joshua chapter 9. I will give you the headline in just a moment as we get through this. Let's read this together. Ready? And it came to pass when all the kings who were on the side of the Jordan and the hills and the lowland and all the coasts of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. That's a lot of ites. Heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. Now, this is very important when we get to this next part, because I'm going to pull this entire message out of this next part. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn, and mended old and patched sandals on their feet and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, to the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you? And where do you come from? So they said unto him, from a very far country, and your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. Listen to verse 12. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day in which we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and it is moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new. And see, they are now torn. And these our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. I know this is a lot of reading, but some of you getting your Bible reading in for tonight. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made this covenant with them that they heard that they were indeed neighbors who dwelt near them. And when the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day, now their cities were Gibeon, Sepharin, Beeroth, and Karjoth, Jerem. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation complained against the rulers. We're almost done here, guys, and then we'll launch this thing. Then all the rulers said unto all the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord our God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. In other words, Joshua said, we have sworn an oath with them. We've made a covenant with them. Therefore, we can do no harm to them. And I want to skip down here. Then Joshua called for them and said to them, why have you deceived us saying this, that you came from a far country when indeed you live near us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters, and water carriers for the house of my God. Now, notice the response here. So they said unto Joshua, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we were afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing, and now we're in your hands. In other words, he's saying, and then they went on to say that due to what you will for us, we will gladly be your servants rather than be dead. So Joshua permitted these men to live. But what I want, now that's the context of this passage, okay? But I want to pull something out that the Holy Spirit gave me about 2 days ago that I developed in this message that I want to share with you. And it's really, and the whole core of this message is found in verses 3-7. And then when we jump down here into about verse 12. And if you don't mind, for the next few minutes, I want to minister a message on moldy bread, torn wineskins, and worn garments. Oh, come on. This is going to be good today. I promise you, I believe some people are going to get ministered to today with the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I know many of you guys, you subscribe to our channel and our ministry for the information. You love the information and being informed. But I got to tell you, look, and I love bringing information and I love informing our listeners and our family. You guys are family to us. But I got to be honest, this is my niche. This is what I love. I love doing these messages like this and these equipping messages because I feel free. I feel at liberty and I love letting the Holy Spirit have his way in these little sermons and these little messages. So let's get after this thing. The reason why I've titled this sermon Moldy Bread, Torn Wineskins, and Worn Garments is because I believe every single individual listening to this podcast, watching this broadcast, we are going to have to deal with these three things anytime we're dealing with a journey in our walk with God. Let me say that again. These three things we're going to have to face. These three areas we're going to have to tackle if we're going to persevere, if we're going to finish our race, if we're going to finish the course, we're going to end up facing one of these three things, if not all three. I believe it's all three. I want you to notice here that in the beginning of the journey, there was fresh bread. But when they got to the end of the journey, there was moldy bread. See, every one of us listening, watching this, all of us have begun our journey. Some of you, you began this journey weeks ago. Some of you, it's been months ago. For some of you, it's been years. So for some of you, it's been decades, but we're all on the same journey. God, who began a good work in us, is faithful to complete it until the day of redemption. So we're all on this journey together. We're passing from death unto life, unto eternal life. We're we're called to accomplish what he has called us to accomplish on this earth. We all have a time that God has appointed unto us. And the reality is for us to witness a babe in Christ. This is someone who's new in the Lord. They've just given their heart to the Lord. Someone who when you meet these individuals, and we've all been there. Some of you, it's been so long that it's kind of foggy. It's been so long. You can't really remember what that was like, but you remember when you first gave your heart to the Lord, you're full of zeal. You're full of hunger. You're excited. But again, the real test will come with time and trial. Let me say that again. The real test will come with time and trial. Will you and I remain on fire? Will we remain full of joy, full of excitement, full of zeal for what the Lord is doing in the earth today? Or for some of us, and many of us, will our fire begin to fizzle out? Will the oil begin to run dry? Will the joy of the Lord begin to dissipate because we've lost our strength? For the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we begin to lose our joy, we begin to lose our strength. And if we lose our strength, we lose the battle and we begin to lose victories. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? That's a recipe. When you lose the fire and you lose the oil and you lose the joy, you know what happens? You're left with dead, dry, religious, mundane motions and programs. Let me say that again. When the fire fizzles out, the oil runs dry, and the joy dissipates, we are left with religious, mundane motions and programs. We're going through the motions. We're punching our religious clock. We're doing our duty. We're showing up to church. We're clocking in, but yet there's no joy. There's no zeal. There's no fire. There's no passion. It's almost like we have to drag ourselves out of bed to go to church because, well, we got to do the right thing. My kids are watching and I want to lead by example and I don't want to stay at home, even though my heart is, I want to stay in bed. I want to stay home. I don't really want to go to church. I don't really want to get in my Bible. I don't want to get in prayer. I don't want to get into his presence. I don't want to get into my devotional time. I really don't want to talk about God, hear about God. I just want to sit around, watch television, go to my ball game, go fishing, go hunting. Come on, who am I talking to today? Not that you intended to do that. When you started out this thing, that's not how you were. Oh, come on, who am I talking to today? Can we get real today? This is what I love about these segments like this. It's because we can be real. Take off the filter, take off the mask, and let's get real here. None of us started out like that. None of us had that mentality. When we first got saved, when we first gave our heart to the Lord, listen, I'm telling you, in 23 years ago, when I gave my heart to the Lord, and boy, has times changed. I'm not talking about for me in some essence, but I'm talking about in church as a whole, because 23 years ago, we had what was called Sunday school. A lot of churches don't even have such a thing anymore. Back in my day, we had what was called midweek service. A lot of churches don't have midweek services anymore. Now they have one service on a Sunday, or they may have multiple services depending on how big they are and the campuses and et cetera, et cetera. But they may have one service on a Sunday. So it seems like as time has progressed, as we get closer to the end of the age, people are just not attending church as much. They're not as excited. They're not as zealous. They're not participating as they once did. And this is why I believe that the writer in the New Testament says that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some, even more so as the day approaches. What day? The day, the coming of the Lord. So I believe it was Paul who wrote that. And he said, when we, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, again, whatever that looks like for you, for some of you, it's a brick and mortar church gathering, a cell group, a home group. For some of you, depending on your circumstances or situation, it's here, it's now, it's this. This is your gathering with other believers in these chat groups and these online forums and these group chats. You've become, you've exchanged phone numbers, exchanged addresses. You become friends, you become acquaintances with one another. You've developed relationships. And this is good. This is what we need to do. But watch us. So we also, I remember, let me go back to what I'm saying here. When 23 years ago, I'm telling you, I could not get enough of church. I always wanted to be in the house of God. Come on. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I couldn't wait for Wednesday midweek service. I couldn't wait for Sunday school and Sunday morning service and Sunday night service. Come on. How many of you guys that attend a brick and mortar church have a Sunday night service, let alone a Sunday morning service? So I was, and even in between those days, we was always in the Word, doing Bible studies, doing small groups. Why? Because we were full of zeal. We were full of passion. We were full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. We had the oil that was filled up. We had the, and as a consequence of that, the joy of the Lord was upon us. But watch this, as time progresses, as we get older, as life comes and hits us smack between the eyes, as trials and tests begin to grow and accumulate, we have to contend, come on, to continue in this journey. I'm in the journey. I'm not even got into the bread part yet. Okay. I'm in the journey. I'm in the journey part. Notice here in Joshua 9, let me make this a little bit more applicable to you. Let me make this more relevant. I want to get to your doorstep. When the children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage and slavery, notice how when they were being delivered out of captivity, out of bondage, out of deliverance, they were excited. They were zealous. Oh, they were all in one mind and one accord. The Bible says that God led them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. But something happened. When once they came out of bondage, when they came out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness of testing, something began to happen. As time went on and trials began, it began to wear on them. And suddenly their carnal nature became evident to all. Their carnal nature was still craving. Oh, listen to this preacher today. Their carnal nature was still craving the impulses and the desires that they were accustomed to in Egypt. And they grew discontent and began to complain against God and the leadership which led them out of captivity. See, this is what I'm talking about. Trials and tests. You don't listen. Nobody gives their heart to the Lord and then one day decides to stop reading the Bible, stop going to church, stop praying, stop fellowshipping. Something happens to produce this in the journey. Somebody say in the journey. So the children of Israel gets delivered out of Egyptian bondage, full of zeal, full of passion, full of fire. But then when the trials and tests hit them in the wilderness, you find out real quick, how unsanctified you really are. Oh, I'm gonna knock on your door right here. See, you think, oh, but Brother Ricky, I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been set free. And God's put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Yes, but you're still in a sanctification process. Oh, come on. So listen, some of y'all don't even know how much carnality you still got in you until the test and the trial start coming on you. You'll find out if you still got that anger problem. You'll find out if you still got a little bit of lust still in your heart. heart. You'll find out if you still got some envy and pride and selfishness and arrogance and jealousy and all kinds of stuff that's on the inside of you, because the trial and the test of the wilderness will always make it surface and come to the top. It's kind of like the process that they do with gold. They melt this, they get it as hot as it can, and then all of the, what's called the dross, rises to the top and they skim it off. This is what happens in the trials and the tests, is all this stuff surfaces to the top so that the Holy Ghost can skim it off of us, so he can get it out of us. The problem we have as believers is that we don't realize that when we are born again, that our spirit is regenerated, but our flesh and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, these things have to be renewed daily. I said daily. The New Testament literally emphasizes putting to death the mortal deeds of the flesh on a daily basis, not weekly, not Sundays. Romans says that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Just because you are now born again doesn't mean that your flesh won't still have desires to sin. Remember, you got to remember this, guys. We all catered and fed our flesh for years and years and years. I don't know about you, but for 23 years, I catered and fed my flesh for years. For 23 years, I gave into impulses and desires of the sinful nature. I was a slave to sin. Your flesh will go through a detoxification process similar to drugs, alcohol, and any kind of addictions like this. And listen, don't think for a minute that the devil won't take you down memory lane and try to entice you of what it was like when you were serving him and he was your master. Oh, come on. Let me give you a verse of scripture. Let me pull up this. Look what Paul said to the church of Ephesus. You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now, present tense, works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire, of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So you see, this is not a one-time deal, guys. This is why it blows me away that leaders don't teach this to their sheep. We have to die every single day. And that leads me now to the first of three things that I want to talk about today. Ready? Number one, moldy bread. You see, and when the children of Israel kept complaining, they said, oh, here's what they said. In the book of Exodus, it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said, listen to their statement, quote, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out here into the wilderness to kill us with hunger. So this is, again, I'm pretty sure I've ministered on this in some form or fashion, but it's amazing to me that these people were so driven by their impulses of their flesh that they were saying, and this was coming out of their mouth, that they had rather died in Egyptian bondage and captivity of their sin, because you know this, Egypt represents sin. It represents bondage that God delivers us out of them. These individuals said, we would rather have died by the pots of the indulgence that we had, the leeks and the onions and the garlics. Oh, in today's vernacular, they would have said, oh, if God, I would just wish God would have left me alone. This Christian walks too hard. I'm getting attacked too much by Satan. I'm getting persecuted too much by my family. Nobody likes me. They laugh at me. They mock me. They ridicule me. They persecute me on a day-to-day basis. Oh, it would have been better if I would have just stayed in pornography. If I would have just stayed in drunkenness. If I would have just stayed in prostitution. If I would have just stayed in the addictions of the drugs and the alcohol. If I would have just stayed in my sinful ways and laying in the indulgence of my flesh, it would have been better than the Lord deliver me out of this, because this Christian walk is just too hard for me. So the whole premise of this complaint was food. It was about their bellies. So God understood this. And so, in according to book of Exodus chapter 16, God provides bread from heaven called manna, but there were stipulations. The children of Israel were commanded to eat the manna that was provided daily to them. They were not to leave it. They were given strict commandments on how to handle this manna, how to eat this manna, how to distribute this manna. And God warned them that the manna could become moldy and be filled with worms if they disobeyed the Lord and if they didn't partake of the manna in which he commanded them to do this. Oh, come on. You do realize in the New Testament, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, when the disciples came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Jesus says, He said, pray like this: "Give us this day our daily bread." Oh, somebody say today, this day, our daily bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He says that man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So you say, "Well, Brother Ricky, what does moldy bread represent? What is this? What does it mean?" Listen, moldy bread is a direct consequence of time and famine. I'm going to say it again. Moldy bread is a consequence of time and famine. Let me explain it to you like this. When the journey begins, when our walk with God begins, we have fresh bread. We have the Word of God. We have 66 books of the Word of the Lord. We have fresh encounters. We have fire branded prayer meetings. We have new fresh expectation and excitement. But as time marches on and we begin to face these trials, we begin to face life in general. Many of us no longer are at the meeting place with God in the morning. We no longer long for our daily bread because we are content with our weekly bread on Sundays. We're no longer in our devotional place of encounter. We no longer are experiencing fresh encounters with the Lord because we don't no longer have time for that anymore. We don't make time for it anymore. We begin to lose our expectation. We begin to lose our excitement. We begin to lose our zeal. We begin to lose our joy. This again is a direct consequence of moldy bread. We can't expect, listen, friend, we cannot expect fresh encounters, breakthroughs, if we are trying to operate out of bread that is moldy and stale and not daily. We need a now word. Come on, I can't, just because I read the Bible last week, it's not going to do anything for me this week. We need a rhema word right now, fresh bread straight out of the bakery of heaven. Come on, there is nothing more aggravating. There is a deli that's close to me here in Georgia. And I was excited about it. I was ready to go up there and get a sandwich. I was excited to eat this sandwich. So I go in there and I'm just like salivating, just thinking about, oh man, I can't wait to eat this sandwich. I got me some turkey on it. I got some provolone cheese on it. Oh, come on. I got a little bit of mayonnaise on it. Listen, this is my sandwich. You can make your sandwich when you want to, but this is my sandwich I'm talking about today. Then I got me some wheat bread and I was excited. Wrapped it up for me. And of course, I had the lettuce on it, the tomatoes on it, the onions on it, had all the works on it. I got home and was excited. I opened it up and I bit into this sandwich and I about merely broke a tooth because the bread was not fresh and it was hard and it was stale. There, what am I talking about? I'm talking about nasty, stale bread ain't gonna do nothing for me. So it aggravated me because it ruined the whole sandwich. It didn't matter how good the meat was and the toppings was and the mayonnaise was and the cheese was. The bread made the whole sandwich. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? So listen, and there is nothing more disappointing than showing up to a church service where you know, I can gauge whether or not the pastor behind the pulpit has been in his devotional time, been in the word, been in prayer, been in the secret place, and been in his presence because of what comes out of his mouth, what he is feeding the congregation. I can tell you right off the bat whether it's stale bread or fresh bread. Oh, come on. I've been in churches where they've given me stale, nasty, moldy bread that got worms in it and ain't doing nothing for me. I'd rather just throw it out. I'd rather should have just stayed at home. But on the other hand, if you ever get into a church where the pastor's been in the presence of God, he's been spending time with God in the secret place, and he comes out and he's got the pan and the bread is coming straight out of heaven, and the steam is rolling off and it's so soft and so, I'm telling you, come on, you'll begin to salivate because it begins to feed your soul. It begins to equip you. It begins to edify you. It begins to encourage you. It's a quickening of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about today. Some of y'all, you ain't got that quickening of the Holy Ghost. Your oil's running dry. Your fire's running out. Your excitement's not there anymore. The zeal's not there anymore. The joy of the Lord's not there anymore. Why? Because you've been eating stale, moldy, worm-infested bread. You've been eating on something that you got 2 years ago. You just sit around all day talking about, oh man, I remember that bread that I got 2 years ago at that service down there at that church or at that encounter or at that conference. Come on, it's time that we stop eating on bread from yesterday. Shut everything off. Get in our prayer time. Get in our prayer closet. Get in our devotion. Get you out a journal. Get a pen. Yes, I said a pen, an old school pen, whatever. And begin to get in your word and get a fresh word from heaven, some fresh bread out of the bakery of heaven. And listen, if that's not a problem, here's another problem we have. We start out, oh, come on, Joshua 9 says, when we started our journey, we had new wineskins that were filled. But as we got to the end of our journey, these wineskins were empty and they were torn. Oh, somebody out there. Come on. If I would have met you 20 years ago, you had a brand new wineskin and you were filled with overflowing with the Holy Ghost. But now come and talk to me. What's that wineskin look like today, friend? How much of that wine you got in there? How much that wine represents the joy of the Lord? It represents the Spirit. It represents, what do you got in there? Are you on E? Are you running on empty? I want to show you this out of Matthew 9:14. Matthew 9:14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Listen to the response of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Verse 16, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Verse 17, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Listen, there's something you need to know today. Wineskins in biblical days were made of animal skins and could become dry and would crack. And many times, because the wine would ferment in these dry, cracked wine skins, it would cause the skins to expand, causing them to burst. Therefore, oh, listen to this. In order to prevent this, they would actually take olive oil and they would rub and saturate the wineskin and cover it with oil as a layer of conditioning to prevent them from cracking from heat and pressure. Oh, hallelujah. This is so powerful. Notice the men said in the beginning of the journey, the wineskins were new, but at the end of the journey, they were torn. How do we prevent our wineskins from cracking? How do we keep them moist and from tearing on this journey of our salvation? The answer is we have to keep them oiled. We have to keep the oil on it. We have to be saturated in oil. Again, the oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is imperative that you and I do whatever it takes to put ourselves in a position to have encounters with God and keep the oil in our lamps and the wineskins preserved. We should desire a fresh encounter, and again, like I said a while ago, and not always be talking about the encounters of yesterday. Listen, we've all been victim to this. I have encountered this. That's how I know. Listen, I know that my oil's beginning to run dry and my wineskins are starting to crack when I sit around and all my verbiage is discussing moves of God that I had 10 years ago and 20 years ago and all these things. And I'm not talking about what God is doing now and an encounter now. And he said, well, Brother Ricky, there's no churches around us that are spirit filled. They don't even allow the Holy Ghost to move. There's nowhere to have these encounters. Friend, Jesus said, where there are two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. We've got to stop making excuses. Come on, I'm preaching to myself too. I was in the same boat as you. But you know what I realized? That I can have the same encounter in my living room with some worship music on, getting lost in his presence, and the same Jesus that shows up in a four-walled brick and mortar building with 300 people in it or 3,000 people in it is the same God that can show up in my basement, in my floor while I'm praising and worshiping and crying out to him. He can show up right there. Who am I talking to? He can show up in your kitchen. He can show up in your dining room. He can show up in your car. He can show up in your office. He can show up in your small group. He can show up at your cell group meeting at the coffee shop. He can show up in your church of 50 people as well as he can show up at the church down the road that has 5,000 people. Just because they have better programs and they have more money and they have more bells and whistles doesn't mean that that attracts the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is not attracted to that stuff. The Bible says where there is a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Bible says that he will not resist it. He says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I'm going to tell you what we need back in the church. That's the hunger of God. Where's the hunger of the Lord? The problem is we have satisfied this hunger with everything else but the Lord. We've quenched the hunger with social media. We've quenched it with entertainment. We've quenched it with sports. We've quenched it with our fleshly desires and our impulses and all these things. So no wonder, listen, we're satisfied. Our bellies are full of everything else but God. So that no wonder we go into the house of God and we're not even expecting anything from God, because after all, we're like the Laodicean church. We have this mentality that we're rich, we're wealthy, we have need of nothing, we're satisfied, we're content. Tell me we're not there, church. And the real terrifying part about this is, based on Matthew 25, among other verses and passages, but this is the one that comes to my mind, Matthew 25, when you study this, it is an end time picture of the condition of the church at the coming of the Lord. And it clearly tells you here that half of the church is not going to have any oil. They've lost the oil. They've lost the anointing. Their wineskins have all cracked. They've all burst. The wine is spilled out. They're empty. They may have started out good, started out full, started out like on the right track. But through the process, at the coming of the Lord, the Bible says that half the church will be asleep, or the Bible says the whole church will be asleep and slumbered, but half of them, they've completely lost the oil. And they're scurrying around at the last second trying, come on, they're trying to pray enough. They're trying to intercede enough. They're trying to press in. They're trying to fake it till they make it. But it's too late. So as believers in this journey, we're going to deal at times with moldy and stale bread. And listen, at the end of this program, the end of this message, we're going to talk about how we can prevent this before it's too late. So we're going to deal with moldy bread, all of us. There's going to be times in this journey, our bread's going to go stale. It's going to have worms in it. Then we're going to deal with dried, cracked wineskins. Then number three, now this is going to be interesting. It says that when they started out, their garments were good, but as they got towards the end, their garments wore out. Now, I'm going to take a whole different angle on this than you probably expected. This is what I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me. This is what he spoke to me. Our garments here could represent our earthly tents. What in the world you talk about, preacher? When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in his second letter, listen to what he says here. For we know that if our earthly house, he's not talking about the house you live in that you pay your mortgage on. He's talking about this tent, your flesh and body, your flesh and blood, your body, your flesh. He says, we know that if this tent, earthly tent, is destroyed, you die, it perishes. We have a building from God. Come on. We have an eternal spirit, a resurrected body that's coming to each and every one of us that are born again. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Look at this. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So Paul here references an earthly tent, our flesh, these earthly bodies. Watch this. We must use wisdom and preserve these earthly tents from wearing out before we finish our race and finish our purpose. I wrote this down in my notes when I was putting this together. Let me say that one more time. We have to use wisdom. I'm telling you, as Christians, we're bad about this, guys. A lot of us. I don't know why it is. I guess it's because, listen, I get the concept. You know, this earth is not our home. We're only here for so much time. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to do these things, whatever that looks like, even though the doctors say, don't do this, don't do that, do this. And the warning labels are there. And you know, these things are harming our bodies, but yet we still do them because we almost like we have this mindset that, you know, it doesn't really matter if I die because I have eternal life. But listen, I'm going to say this again. We must use wisdom and preserve these earthly tents from wearing out before, that's the key, before we finish our race and purpose. To say that it's never going to wear out, well, that's ridiculous. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Listen, you can thank Grandpa Adam and Eve for that. It's the Psalms 90 verse 10 says man's years shall be 70 and 80 or more by reason of strength. Some people will make that. Some people will go beyond 70. Some people will never make it to 70. Now, I will say this. Solomon, and you've heard Brother Ricky say this many times. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that we can actually die before our time. Yes, that's in the Bible. Let me say that again. We can die before our time. Now you say, well, hold on. God has appointed our days, our hours. He knows the number of our hairs on our head. And all these things is written in his book. He's adorned us, ordained us. Yes, that's correct. He, in his book, has our days numbered. But listen, he's given us what's called free will. See, I've taught on this before. When you get over there in Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, he said, do you know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if any man defiles the temple, God will, or if any man destroys the temple, God will destroy him. I've heard many preachers completely destroy the actual meaning of that verse. If you defile your body, it doesn't mean God is going to throw a lightning bolt down there or strike you with a curse and kill you. You read the actual Greek context of that. Read it in the Greek meaning of that, in the interpretation of that. And it literally means that God will permit or allow your physical body to wilter away because of your own demise. He's not going to stop in. Now, listen, he will warn you. Oh, yes, he will warn you. Listen, I am living proof. I can't tell you how many times God has warned me. Let me use an example. Listen, I don't smoke cigarettes or weed. I got to be specific nowadays. I don't smoke any of that or crack or meth. I don't do any drugs, no smoking, no drinking. I don't do any of that. But there has been things that I've done to my physical body that has damaged it. And many of you know, I have dealt with over 15 years of stomach infirmities that I brought on myself because of too much over-the-counter, non-prescription NSAID use. What is NSAIDs? NSAIDs are ibuprofen, aspirin, Motrin, naproxen sodium. I believe that's how you say that, naproxen sodium. These are what's called NSAIDs. They're anti-inflammatory medication. Why was I taking these? Because I deal with a lot of sinus issues, a lot. It's something that I've dealt with for all my life. And there's inflammation in your sinuses. You get it behind your eyes. You get it in your head. And for years, ibuprofen was the only thing that would touch it. And so I would be taking these things. Well, over time, it would damage the stomach lining in my stomach. So it was eating away, and then eventually that would lead to ulcers. So this went on for 15 years, and the Lord kept dealing with me and through doctors. Come on, through people in my life that was warning me, you got to stop taking NSAIDs. You got to stop drinking all this caffeine. You got to stop eating so much spicy food. Well, I didn't want to hear that because I liked the relief that the NSAIDs gave. I liked my sweet tea. Come on, all my Southerners said amen. My Northerners don't know what I'm talking about there. But anyway, we're going to go on. I liked my Mexican food. I liked my spicy food. I liked this stuff. I didn't want to give this up. But wisdom was screaming, if you don't give this up, if you don't let go of this, you're going to be plagued with nonstop inflammation and ulcers. And down the road, that's going to lead to bad things and bad problems. So, I'm talking about cycle after cycle after cycle. I'd get the victory, then here it comes. Get the victory, here it comes. Get the victory. This last bout, I'm in it right now. As many of you know, I'm trying to get healed up of multiple ulcers. I'm having to take medication I don't want to take. I'm having to abstain from things. I've had to say goodbye to say, and I realized out of wisdom, watch this. I'm still in the message. If I don't listen to wise counsel and eliminate certain things, then I am going to wear out this garment, this tent, and before I finish my race and achieve and accomplish what God has me to accomplish. Oh, listen, many of you, your tents are wearing out too quickly. They're wearing out too quickly from fleshly habits, addictions that you struggle with. We're talking about smoking, alcohol, food addictions, certain narcotics, prescription drugs. All these things are wearing out your flesh. And if you don't stop it, wisdom is screaming, stop, stop. The Holy Ghost is screaming, stop, stop doing this. Abstain from this. Get the victory over this. Get delivered of this. If you don't stop doing this, you can die before your time, and you will cut yourself short of accomplishing what God has ordained for you to accomplish from the foundation of the world. Come on, I hope somebody understands that today. So listen, this is where we're going. So we've went about, what, 50 some odd minutes in this? So listen, I want to pray with you. So you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's the remedy? How do we deal with the stale, dry, moldy, worm-filled bread? The answer is, we have, I know this is going to be a cuss word to some of y'all. Discipline. You have to make time for God. Get in your word. Again, get you a journal, get a pen. This is what I do. I have a journal. I have a pen. I begin to open up the Bible and I begin to read it. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I begin to write down things. I begin to write down revelation that he gives me. I begin to write. That's how I got this word. I begin to write down revelation that he gives me. I begin to pray into things that he reveals to me. I write down my prayer requests. This is the devotional time that we're talking about. We're reading the word. Make a point to get fresh bread every single day and not rely on, come on, whatever you're being served at on Sunday morning. Because listen, the problem with that is, If your preacher and your pastor hasn't been in the word, hasn't been in his devotional time, hasn't been in the presence of God, then you know what he's doing? He's just serving you for some nasty old stale bread. So I'm not going to rely on men to give me the bread. I have to be, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Come on. Does this make sense to you? All right. Number two is, how do I keep the wineskins from cracking and bursting? Again, the answer is, when you do a historical background on this and you begin to research, how did they do it in that time? How do they keep those wineskins from cracking, from bursting, from pressure and from the heat? They lathered them in oil continually. Again, this is going to take discipline. Turn off everything. Turn off the phone. Turn off the television. Turn off the distractions. Put on the worship music, lay in his presence, get in his presence, press in. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As you press in, listen, as you begin, you may not feel anything. You may not feel like doing it. You may not feel like lifting your hands to worship him. You may not feel like giving him the praise he deserves. You may not feel like doing this thing, but I can promise you that the more you linger in his presence, you begin to open your mouth, you begin to pray, begin to seek his face, you'll begin to feel the anointing. And as he comes in, as his presence comes in, as his anointing comes in, you know what's happening? The oil begins to fill up. Come on. The oil's filling up your lamp and it's lathering your wineskin, and this will sustain you through those dry, barren seasons because you've been in this presence to get the oil. And then last but not least, again, all three of these require disciplines. You're going to have to make a decision. You got to do it for yourself, do it for your family, do it for your church, do it for your neighbors, do it for your friends. Listen, if you're here under the sound of my voice, you're watching this today, you're still breathing, you still have a pulse, you still have a heartbeat, God has a purpose for you. But don't allow your garment to wear out before it's time. So let's pray right now. We're going to pray into all three of these things. This is going to take participation. This is not observation. This is participation. I need you to pray with me. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to pray with me. The Bible says, if any two shall touch and agree on any one thing, it shall be done for the Father, which is heaven. We're going to pray, come on, to get some fresh bread. We're going to pray to get those wineskins oiled up and our lamp filled with oil again. And we're going to pray that God will give us the victory over these things that are causing our garments to wear out before our time. Ready? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me today. I pray that it goes, as it goes forth, you said according to the book of Isaiah that the word of the Lord shall not return void, but it will go forth and it will equip and it will prosper in that which is sent forth. And I just thank you right now in Jesus' name that it is equipping people. It is prospering in the thing in which is sent forth today. Lord, for those that are watching and listening today, Lord, if they've been guilty of snacking and eating and partaking of dry, barren, stale, worm-infested bread, they have not been in their word. They're not in the word like they used to be. They've not read the Bible maybe in weeks or months. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace and the strength to be disciplined, to go get out that dusty Bible, open it up again, and ask the Lord to give them a fresh word. Begin to read that word. Get that journal. Get that pen. Begin to write down. Habakkuk said that he went to the place where he could meet God, and he took a tablet and he took a pen and he said, Lord, I come here, and now as I approach your presence, speak to me. Speak to me, and I will write down and I will do those things in which you speak to me. Lord, let us have that kind of a posture. Let us get into that daily bread routine. Lord, we know in the natural that whatever we do for 21 days, we can form a habit. I pray for the next 21 days, we make it a habit to read the Word of God, whether it's one chapter, two chapters, five chapters, or 10 chapters. We don't want to put a limit on God. We want to get in there. I pray that we would get so hungry for the Word of God that we would get lost and time would be of no essence. We would spend 3 hours watching a television program or a series or a sports event. I pray that we would take just as much time and get in the Word, and if it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, so be it. But we will be filled with fresh manna from heaven in Jesus' name. And it would destroy this famine of the Word of God in our lives in Jesus' name. Come on, receive this today. And Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice right now. If your wineskin, you recognize that your wineskin is dry, it's cracking, it's spilling wine, and it's because you've went through dry and barren places, and the pressure, the test, and the trials is in normal circumstances, you would sustain through this. But because you've not been in his presence, you've not allowed the oil to lather up that wineskin, you're now cracking under pressure. You're now cracking under the stress. You're cracking under the worry. You're cracking under the report. You're cracking under the imaginations and the lies and the defamation and the gossip and the slander and all these things that the enemy is hurling at you and throwing at you on a daily basis. Life in general is causing you to cry. You're cracking, you're spilling all over the place, and everyone around you notices it. They're saying, what's wrong with you? Where's the joy that you had? Where's the zeal that you had, brother? Where's the zeal that you had, sister? Where's the passion? Where is the excitement and the expectation that you had? You are not the same individual that I once knew 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you, by self-examination today, by the Holy Spirit, through this word, you recognize that you are one of those individuals today. And you say, Brother Ricky, today, starting today, I'm going to get in his presence. Today, I'm going to get into prayer and I'm going to allow him to saturate me with fresh oil today so that my wineskin can be sustained. And if need be, just like in Matthew chapter 9, I will even fast. Come on, friend. I feel that for somebody. Listen. Fasting is one of the greatest things you can do to usher in the presence of God. I don't understand. Don't ask me to explain it, but when you consecrate a fast, whether it's a 1 day, 3 day, 7 day, 21 day, when you begin to fast and seek the Lord, I'm telling you, it's like it puts everything on overdrive. It's like a magnet to the presence of the Lord because you're putting to death your deeds of your flesh. You're suppressing your flesh and you're allowing your spirit man to be in tune with God. So for some of you, that's going to be a key for you. You need to pray and fast. The Bible says, and that leads me to the next part. And that is you recognize you're one of those individuals whom, listen, you may be in the bread. You may have fresh bread in your oven every morning. Hallelujah. You may, your wine skin is oiled up, it's lathered up, and it's spilling out with wine because there's, it's full to the top. You're full of joy. But listen, you recognize that your garments are wearing down thin. The doctors have said, listen, if you don't get your cholesterol in order, if you don't get your diabetes in order, if you don't stop smoking, if you don't stop drinking, your liver's dead, if you don't stop doing these things, and listen, you're a born again believer, you're spirit filled, you love God. We're not questioning that today. But I'm telling you, who am I talking to today? The doctors have warned you. Your physicians have warned you. People has warned you. Your pastors warned you. The elders have warned you. Your friends, your family. This preacher is warning you. The Holy Ghost is confirming to you that you're going to have to do something today, because if you don't do it today, you're going to die before your time. Come on, it's not too late. It can be reversed. It can be stopped. It can stop today. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord our healer. God, we serve a God who is able to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and all these have destroyed and make all things new. He can restore and replenish the times that the enemy has stole from you. Come on, receive this today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the anointing that breaks every yoke, every destructive lifestyle that people are doing, every habit, every addiction, every impulse that people, that your people are engaged in, that in on the inside they're crying out, but it's like the addiction is driving them. I pray that they get victory in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And they're like the children of Israel. They want to be by the pots of the leeks and the onions and the garlics because they don't want to deal with the disciplines. They don't want to deal with the self-control. But God, I thank you that as they partake of the manna from heaven, as they partake of the new wine, as they get their oil filled and the joy comes in unspeakable and full of glory, it will give them the edge they need and the victory that they need. And for some of you, you fall into the category where the Lord says, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I don't know who that revelation is to, but I still feel that. I'm still on that vein of that. So again, receive that if that's for you. And I'm telling you, you will have the victory. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. I pray that it let this word go forth. Let it prosper. Let the people of God receive it when they say yes and amen. And may they have the victory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me. That's, if you'll bookmark that, that's going to be our website. Again, free app available, Apple, Android. Did I mention it's free? No excuses. It's free. It doesn't take up much of your memory on your phone or your RAM or whatever the case may be. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. That's how you're going to keep up with our ministry and everything that we put out. And as always, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it equips you, it informs you, it encourages you on a week-to-week basis, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right here on your screen, we're going to pull that up for you. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way, all the way to the bottom where it says donate. Click there. It's going to bring you to a page, or go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org. You'll see a place where it says support the ministry. Click on that link. It's going to take you. You can give electronically, PayPal, credit card, Venmo, Cash App. All that's going to be there. Or you can support by check or money order right there on your screen. Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia. Again, that's 30655. So guys, that's what we've got for you today. We pray this has been a great blessing to you and your family. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button, that push notification, that bell right there on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook Live, whatever the case would be, so that these platforms can push our content out there and that you can keep up with what we're doing. So we're going to sign off for this weekend, guys. We pray that you have a great and awesome and safe and blessed weekend. We will be right back here, Lord willing, on Monday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.